Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues here on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. This is a live radio program you're listening to on American Family Radio. And so, you know, mistakes may be had. Careers may be ended. Who knows what people will say here that we might regret. Now, you do have to be careful because it is live radio. This isn't a taped show. Good morning, Ed Vitagliano.
Good morning, Tim Wildman.
Don't have to worry about you, do we? Saying things flying off the handle?
No. Huh? I am ice water in my veins.
We just have to worry about whether we have President Trump live. That's the only thing that makes me nervous. Good morning, Fred Jackson.
I can't understand that. Why would you be nervous?
Well, God bless him. President Trump, he just lets it fly. That's what you were saying at our meeting this morning. That's what people love about him. A lot of people do. A lot of people can't stand him, but a lot of people are attracted to President Trump because he says what a lot of people think out loud.
Yes, and in this day and age of political correctness,
right,
where everyone has to walk on eggshells,
right,
here's the one guy who says, give me your eggs. I'll squash them, smash them, step on them. I'm not afraid to walk on eggshells. And people just go, you know, that's a breath of fresh air.
Yeah, I
maybe
know.
He goes too far sometimes, but I think that's why they...
Right, right. When he says what... But
You've likened him to Charles Barkley when he does his commentary, when he's doing the NBA commentary at halftime and stuff like that.
Right.
You just go, that's Charles Barkley. That's why we love Charles Barkley.
Right. He just says what a lot of people are thinking.
Yeah.
Can you imagine working for his communications department?
Who's
and,
that?
And you're standing
President
there.
President Trump?
You're standing off to the side, and he's got some dignitary sitting beside him, and you're just hoping, okay, he's not going to say anything today. And then he does.
Sarah Huckabee, though, she lasted, what, 2 years?
Yes, she did.
Huh?
Bless her heart.
Because it was her job to, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, you're talking about, it was her job to explain everything he said.
I know.
And how difficult is that sometimes? I don't know.
Man.
You know, you're sitting there thinking, I don't know what was going through his brain when he said that.
Well, President Trump, though, as you said, Ed, he's a New York businessman. That's how he talks.
Yeah.
And so, you know. You just learn sometimes he goes a little over the top. Well, we would consider over the top.
Right. Yeah.
But a lot of times it works to his advantage because he lays things out there that clears things up because he simplifies them.
You know what? I don't think I've ever taken a cab in New York City. I've taken them in other places, but they always talk about New York cab drivers.
Right.
Well, they don't play according to etiquette either.
No.
And that's what I'm saying.
That's where he grew up.
That's right. So you go, wow, that was a cab ride. That guy told me to shut up and and get my shoes off his seat and all that kind of stuff. I'm not used to that kind of treatment.
If anybody doesn't know what we're talking about, we're going to give them a demonstration in just a second.
All right. Yeah. Anyway, welcome, everybody. Tell folks how they can join us here on the show, Ed, if they want to.
Well, obviously, if you are listening, you're listening either on a terrestrial radio station or the AFR app. But if you want to watch the show, you can just go to Facebook or YouTube and type in Today's Issues, and you can watch us. We have cameras in here. Every once in a while, we wave at them. And there are other folks who watch, and you can exchange, you know, witty banter or whatever you want to do. And,
share your feelings with people.
Share your feelings. We're all about
now
feelings.
Now, you said
here.
They may be listening on a terrestrial radio station.
Yes, yeah, so just a regular radio station in your car. Or
now,
you can.
We want to hear from you if you're listening on an extraterrestrial radio station. Because you're the kind of people we want to talk to. We thought you were out there.
Yes.
But
and we just want to know if we are
alone.
If
you want to phone home. Yeah. We want to hear from you.
If you're listening on the station in Area 51,
yes.
I want to hear from you.
Now, folks, let
me just say, for those who are out there, our 10% who are literalists and don't
you got to explain it to them.
Don't understand that we're kidding. Uh-huh. We are not saying we believe aliens are visiting the planet, okay?
Yeah.
All right, so don't start saying
you weren't in my
you're of the devil.
You weren't in my backyard last night. So how can you tell me what kind of encounter I had? All right, listen, I wanted to say something real quickly before we get into the meat of the show, and we do have meat this show. Our good friend and loyal listener, Dave Dabney in Jackson, Mississippi.
Yes.
Dave reminded me that today is the anniversary of, in 1991, so 28 years ago, American Family Radio became a network. Mm. American Family Radio started in 1991 with our first radio station here in Tupelo, Mississippi, which is our national headquarters. And it was my dad's idea, Don Wildman, to build a Christian radio network across the country. Mm. And so when you have one station, you're not a network.
Right. That's true.
So you've got to put another station on. So we put our first station outside of our home base here, and it's in Jackson, Tennessee. Mm-hmm. And it's the tower's there located on the grounds and the property of the old country store.
Right.
Clark Shaw there and his family, they own the old country store restaurant and gift shop. That's at the Casey Jones Museum and Village. Yep. And so we dedicated that in 1991. Just saw a picture of my dad there the other day. I mean, from way back when. So anyway, just we're celebrating the day 28 years ago, this day that we became a network. Of course, American Family Radio went on to expand all over the country. We have 83 radio stations now across America. So that was so Tupelo, Mississippi was the first one, and Jackson, Tennessee was our second one, and then from there we just expanded.
And this one here in Tupelo is the flagship station. So the people here across that network of 183 stations comes from here.
Right. We beam up, Scotty. we beam up our signal to the satellite from here, I think, and then it goes all over the country,
right?
All over the U.S. of A. So we have listeners all over the home of the free and the land of the free and the home of the brave. All right, what do you got, Fred Jackson? Get us started here.
Yes. Well, yesterday we were reporting on the change that, thanks to President Trump, went into effect with regards to funding clinics that refer people to abortions, in particular Planned Parenthood. And one of the promises that the president made in 2016 is that he wanted to see Planned Parenthood defunded. Now, what he did yesterday and what went into effect is that now a clinic that allegedly is there to deal with women's health cannot refer any of their clients / patients to an abortionist. And if they do that, they're going to lose their funding. Well, Planned Parenthood decided we can't live with that restriction, which was proof that their main business is abortion.
Right.
You know, that's what it proved. And so yesterday, the president's plan, now it's going to be challenged in the courts and is being challenged in the courts, but the president's plan took effect. So now a clinic that advertises itself as caring for women's health, you can still do that, but you cannot refer a patient to an abortionist.
Right.
So thank you, President Trump, and your administration for standing up for the unborn.
Yes.
This is a big deal. This is
at least 60 million.
Right.
$60 million, Ed. And I will say this, folks, have you put this, Brent, on our Facebook, what I'm about to ask you about? Okay. On our website or Facebook, we have a petition to thank President Trump for defunding Planned Parenthood. Now, Planned Parenthood is not altogether defunded. Don't misunderstand us. They receive upwards of $500 million a year from the federal government, and it's a complicated process to defund. It's not easy to do. But to the extent that President Trump could do what he could do, his administration, they have. Now, Planned Parenthood backed out voluntarily here of the money. They said, no, we don't want the money. But they weren't getting anywhere in court, Ed.
Right. Even the Ninth Circuit which is the most liberal appellate circuit in the country, declined to hear any more of Planned Parenthood's arguments. So the Planned Parenthood said, "Well, if we can't perform abortions, we're gonna not
decline
take the money."
So to thank President Trump, go to AFA.net or go to our Facebook page for today's issues, and Brent's posted that link there too. But we have a petition to thank the president in this regard. You know what, folks? You criticize people when they do things that you don't agree with, right? That's just politics in America. But we need to thank people when they do follow through with their promises. In this case, President Trump pro-life promises. You know, the president has done so much on the pro-life front. I mean, I just don't think he could have done any more than what he's done on the pro-life front. Now, other areas, you could say, well, maybe he could have done more. But anyway, I want to congratulate. And that's a change for him. You know, he wasn't always pro-life.
That's true. Something
happened in his life that changed him. Mm-hmm. People speculate, well, maybe it was the birth of his son, Barron. Or something. But something changed his mind along the way. Was it a friend? He said,
I think it was the son of a friend or something, because he mentioned, he said,
in the debate.
Yeah, he said, and now I look at this young man, and I'm just amazed. I guess maybe the mom was considering abortion, and so.
But anyway, by the way, have you seen how tall Barron is now?
Yeah, I know. Uh-uh.
Not recently. Oh yeah.
He's a good 6'4".
Wow, really?
Yeah,
President Trump. Is he like 12 or something? He's like 12 or 13?
Every other week, there's a picture of him getting off Marine One on the south lawn of the White House, and he gains an inch.
Well, I mean, President Trump's tall, and Melania Trump is tall.
She's 5'11".
Yeah.
She's 5'11". President Melania is the first lady, and President Trump, 6'3". I'm saying Barron is already 6'4". So it's about time he takes his dad out back and dunks on him. You got to look at him. He's going to probably be 6'5", 6'6" by the time
he's really stretched.
Says 13-year-old Barron Trump is now taller than mom and dad. I'm looking at a picture of him. Good grief!
I know, if he's got any coordination at all, the basketball recruiting is going to pick up for him. Because you
look at that. Wow. And you said President Trump is 6'3"?
President Trump's 6'3". Barron's got to be.
Now you look 6'5".
How old is he?
13 years old. Wow.
Now, he must be towering towering over his classmates.
Yeah.
But if your dad's 6'3" and your mom's 5'11".
You're going to be tall.
Yep. Yeah. All right. But anyway. Next story, Fred.
Well, one of the other promises that Canada Trump made when he was running for president was that he was going to do something to secure our southern border and to stop the tens of thousands of people coming into this country illegally every month.
Yeah.
Some estimates now are 15 to 20 million people living in this country illegally.
Wow.
It's crazy. And, of course, everybody knows the Democrats have fought him tooth and nail on that. The courts have fought him. Well, today he's making good on that promise once again. And what's happening today is that, you know, one of the problems has been people come across our border illegally or claim amnesty, whatever the case may be, and they get a court date for a year from now or 2 years from now, and they've been let go. And I hope you show up. And 85% of them don't show up. So what's happening today, there's going to be a change that moms and dads and families who come across the border with their kids, doesn't matter, including families, they are going to be kept in detention, all right, until they appear before a judge. Now the families, remember the Democrats splitting up families, the families are going to be kept together, but they are going to stay in detention until they actually appear before that judge, who will say, yes, you can stay, or no, you can't. You don't have a case. All right, so just a few minutes ago, the acting Secretary of Homeland Security, Kevin McAleenan, was on Fox and Friends, and he was explaining how this is going to work. Cut number 11.
This is a significant step in increasing the integrity of our system and addressing really the core aspect of this crisis at our border, which has been the arrival of family units in absolutely record numbers. Through July, we saw 475,000 family units. That's more than three times any previous full year arriving at our border in just 10 months. And they've been coming to exploit a vulnerability in our immigration framework that says if you have a child with you, you cannot be held for more than 20 days. And that's not been long enough to complete an immigration proceeding. So what this rule does is it establishes very high standards of care for children in federal custody, first and foremost, and implements the 20-year-old settlement, but it also allows us to keep families through their immigration proceedings. These are fair and expeditious proceedings with an immigration judge. And when we start getting results, when we repatriate those that don't have a meritorious claim, we're going to see a reduction in that flow significantly at the border. So it's a big step, and it's a key aspect of our multi-layered strategy.
So there you have it. That was Kevin McAleenan, the acting Secretary of Homeland Security.
So are we going to build apartments?
No, I guess these are just, I guess they'll have cots. And they're supposed to have, you know, adequate medical care. And there's concern about flu shots and those kind of things down there on the border. So I guess they're just going to keep them together. This is part of what has been going on is the attraction has been, since you can't keep the children there for 20 days, past 20 days, separated from their families, that has encouraged the flow of families and, it appears, individuals who rent kids, I guess is a way to put it, mm-hmm. or whatever they're doing to pretend like they're a family so that they get released into the general population and then they never show up for their hearing. This is my understanding, Fred, is that this is a way to kind of shut that loophole, that's what the Trump administration's calling it, and say, okay, fine, we can't release, you can't hold a child for more than 20 days, so we're keeping the whole family together mm-hmm. until your court hearing. So,
how does the left handle that one?
I guess what the, you know they're
complaining about it. Because they love saying, President Trump is ripping children out of the arms of their parents.
Right.
Now what are they going to say? President Trump is keeping children with yes. their parents.
Well, I'm sure they will complain. You cannot keep families in cages, quote, I'm using air
quotes.
Oh,
this is where we're going now? Yeah. Drinking out of toilets?
Right. That's right. You can't keep them until they're hearing because that's too long to wait before they can come before a judge. But you've got to release them. That's what the left is going to demand. They release the whole families. Well, this is the kind of thing when you can't, you just can't make them happy.
Trump because, derangement syndrome.
Yeah. They want open borders. Mm-hmm. Anything you do, mm-hmm. you fix their complaints, they can develop more complaints.
And they've said, yeah, by the way, related to this, is that the end of that story, basically?
For now. But, you know, the ACLU and others, this is going to be challenged in the courts.
Right.
One of the other thing I see coming from the ACLUs is that, oh, come on now. You can't adjudicate properly. People have to have lawyers to argue before this judge on their behalf. You're going to get all this kind of stuff, due process stuff.
Right. And here's one other thing I suspect is going to happen. We talked about a little bit of this in our story meeting this morning. If you're a guy and you get a woman to go with you and pretend to be your wife, and then you get these kids that pretend to be your kids, are you going to sit there in detention and pretend like these are your kids? I don't. I'm not. You tell them what to do. I'm not. They're not my kids.
Right. You know? You don't know that they're, like you're saying, there's a lot of bogus claims because we've read stories about children being recycled.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. This kind of puts a monkey wrench into the whole deal because if you're planning on coming here illegally and you need a family, to expedite your situation,
right?
So you get a phony family, right. or get a couple of kids you don't know, but
just hold our hands.
The Border Patrol don't know if they're your kids or not. Huh? You say they are,
yeah,
and you can't, you know. So there's no DNA test.
I don't think even.
So how do you do that? So that's a good question because if they're a bogus, phony, you know, then how do you
take care of these fake kids for 60 days?
I don't know how that'll, but how do you keep them all together? You're saying you give them cots?
I'm guessing. I don't know how this is going to unfold. I guess you might have four or five families in a, you know, this is all fencing, you know, the chain link
cages.
Fence.
They're cages.
They're, so I don't know whether you just put them over here in this corner with enough cots.
You know, the left doesn't want the AOC types. They don't want detention at all.
Right.
That's right.
Joe Biden's about the only one that wants detention. That or said publicly.
Yeah.
That he, you know, of the presidential content. Well, those weren't running on the president on the Democrat side. So, by the way, related to this, did you see Harry Reid, the former Senate Majority Leader,
right?
Democrat from Nevada. He was in Washington for a long time. Was a very powerful man. He said yesterday that the Democrat Party is going too far left.
Harry Reid said that?
I heard something about that this morning, yeah.
Yeah, he said mm-hmm. He said this, I'm paraphrasing now, basically he said this idea of decriminalizing illegal immigration is nuts.
Harry Reid said that?
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. He said that's not going to be a winner for the Democrats.
I'm not surprised about that, actually. I'm surprised he said it publicly. But, you know, remember when all this started with Trump and the border, you know, there were all sorts of, I guess, on conservative news outlets, Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, under the Obama administration, saying the same thing Trump is saying.
Mm-hmm.
But because it's Trump now, they've switched. So
what you got here is you, by the way, see if you can pull up that, if that was a, Brent, if you can get the audio from that, even we can use the next half hour from Harry Reid where he's talking about. Okay, he said, here's what Harry Reid said. He said, people want a fair immigration system. They don't want an open door invitation for anybody, for everybody to come at once, Reid said. He also said, there are so many more important things to do. Decriminalizing border crossings is not something that we should put at the top of the list, talking about the Democrat Party.
Right.
It should be way, way down at the bottom. Also, he didn't like the Medicare for All deal. You know what you got here? The emergence of a new Democrat Party.
Yes. I don't think that's an exaggeration.
You do. The old guard, which represented by Pelosi and Schumer, and now they're very liberal, and Harry Reid, and others, they're being challenged now by this new Democrat Party, and the new Democrat Party are basically socialist, and they're globalist, and they are anarchist in many ways, I would say. They don't believe in borders at all, and the old Democrat Party, they for the most part look at them. Biden would be in that camp, and they look at this new breed of Democrat, and they go, I don't recognize, I don't agree with some of these nutty ideas. Biden has said he doesn't agree with decriminalizing.
Right.
Illegal entry. And he thinks it's crazy, too.
I mean, yes.
It takes some, far be it for me to applaud Joe Biden.
Right.
But I got to give him credit on this one. He did say, back to all these other people running for president on the Democrat side, he did stand up and say, I'm not for decriminalizing.
Right.
I'm not going that far. Open borders. Because I think also he knows that's going to be a loser.
Yes.
In the general election, at least you would think it would be. We shall return momentarily with more of today's issues. Abraham Hamilton III will join us in a minute.
Next time on Today's Issues, our guest will be Jan Markell of Understanding the Times Radio.
And I think you will find some of the insights given to be very cutting edge. We talked about current events, Bible prophecy, apologetics, issues in the church, and more.
We'll also have news headlines and analysis from American Family News. Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. You know, one of the days that we're in Israel on our March tour, we will be going to Bethlehem. Now, when we go to Bethlehem, we'll be visiting what's called the Church of the Nativity. And the Church of the Nativity is over the place where Jesus Christ was born. And so we're going to be seeing that very place and experiencing the place where Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem. And then later, we'll be seeing the shepherd's fields later that same day. So it's going to be a wonderful time. That's just one day in our trip to Israel. For more information on this March 12th through the 20th trip to the Holy Land, go to our website, twholyland.com. That's twholyland.com.
Fox News Commentary with Todd Starnes.
Hello, Americans. Teaching white privilege to teachers. That story next.
What do you see for the next generation? Do you see a prospering nation? Do you see hope? The future is ours to create, and Liberty University is driven to train positive influencers for our country and our culture. Our mission is to guide students toward leadership as servants of the people, defenders of freedom, and champions of truth. Discover how you can impact the next generation of champions for Christ by texting GIVE to 839-858.
From Chattanooga, Tennessee, comes word of a disturbing story about white privilege. Teachers in the local school district had to attend a training session the other day. They were told that white people are less likely to be followed by the police, that white people don't have a problem getting credit at the bank. They were also told that people of color cannot be racist because they lack the institutional power to affect white lives. In other words, only white people can be racist. Well, as you might imagine, white school teachers were appalled, and the school board office was inundated with angry telephone calls. The Hamilton County School District dismissed concerns about the lesson. They say it's been misrepresented. However, I have copies of that slide presentation, and I can assure you nothing was misrepresented. They were literally judging people by the color of their skin. I'm Todd Starnes.
That's your Fox News commentary.
This is today's issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of today's issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of today's issues.
Welcome back to today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. Is Abe forgot he's supposed to be here? Huh? Okay. Anyway, Abraham Hamilton III, a distinguished attorney who bills people by the hour. And we're about to start billing him because he's not here.
Can I fill in here with a little story?
Ed Vitagliano about to fill in with a little story. Go ahead, Abe.
Well, yeah, Ed. Yeah, this is, I'm trying to figure out where this is. But anyway, this is off Fox News. An elderly couple went to a restaurant, Phyllis and Robert Hidden.
Yeah, where'd they go?
They went to a restaurant at the Riverside Hotel. This appears to be in the UK. So
okay.
People in America would never do this. America.
Right.
So they got their ticket, paid their bill, and then the husband was looking at the receipt, and the waitress, you know how most tables have a number? Table 4, table... Well, yeah. This just had table, and so she typed in so she would be able to identify what customer. She typed in old people.
She so said, that shows up on the ticket?
It showed up on the ticket. I'm looking at a picture of it. The waitress, now the couple's about 80 years old.
Right.
So this, and you know what? They wanted an apology, and I understand that they were insulted. Yeah. But I'm just thinking, is some teenager or some young person who's the waitress, and she's going, okay, what table is that on? I'm just typing in old people,
because those old people over there. He wants a tea.
Yeah, right.
With lemon. Okay.
So I thought that was kind of funny.
Well, kiss that tip goodbye.
Yeah. Well, no, they already
old
paid
people,
and it's in Europe. You know that in most places in Europe, you just do not tip. They pay the salary, and
government pays the tip. I think.
I don't know, but
the socialist.
But here in this country, everyone tips. But that's Anyway, so old people.
Old people.
I'm sure that.
You know what bothers me a little bit about that is when they put the tip on there automatically.
Oh, and they don't tell you? And then you tip again?
Well, I understand the 10 people rule. You have over 10 people, they put an automatic.
Yeah, automatic tip, gratuity.
20%, I think. I just had that happen the other day somewhere, and it wasn't 10 people, but they had put a tip on.
Oh, that's
a tip on a service that, anyway, when they automatically put the tip on there, it's not really a tip.
Right.
Is it? It's compulsory.
It's right. Yes.
Huh?
Yeah, it's a tax.
It's a tax. It's a tax is what it is. I wanted to mention one other good morning, Abraham Hamilton.
Good morning, Tim.
The third. How you
doing,
brother?
Did you forget about us?
No, I didn't forget about you.
Okay, well, we just wondered where we were concerned about you, eh?
Our billing started at 10:30.
We just love charging lawyers by the hour when they're late. You were 1 minute late. So, I wanted to mention something real quickly before we get back. And Abe's here. You comment on this as well. This, you know, when you're a public person, and we are here because we're on the radio, you try to be fair about the way you present stories.
Right.
Even if it's a negative story about somebody you don't like politically, I think it's you want to be fair and accurate about what it is you're discussing, and not slant things intentionally or manipulate things to make somebody have a view or a position that they didn't really intend to have.
Right.
And you know that to be the
yes.
case. Yeah. Everybody know what I'm talking about here?
Mm.
And we're all prone to do that.
Right.
Because we're human. And if somebody we don't like, then we want to put them in the worst possible light.
And someone we do like, we give them the benefit of the
yes,
doubt.
That's the way human nature is. Well, and President Trump sometimes deserves criticism for things that he says. I mean, he just does. I mean, but let's be fair, too, at the same time.
Right.
Okay, that's why we're talking about what I'm about to talk about. I wanted to be fair. The gentleman's name is Spike Lee that I'm talking about, and he is a movie producer, very well known, and has some of the funniest commercials around with him and Charles Barkley and Samuel Jackson. Have you ever seen these?
Yeah, those are older. Those are 3 or 4
They're still
years
funny.
Old.
They're
yeah,
funny.
But they are funny, yeah.
They roll them out every year at about March Madness.
Oh, they do?
But they're new.
Oh, okay.
They're new.
All right.
They're
okay.
new. Anyway, so Spike Lee, but I don't know much about his movies. I don't go see his movies. I just know he's a very well-known, famous movie producer. But anyway, he appeared on Anderson Cooper, CNN, last night, Tuesday night. And this is what he said about President Trump. Of course, he can't stand President Trump.
Right.
And he said this about President Trump to Anderson Cooper. He said, respectfully, I'm quoting now, respectfully, why are we still asking if this guy's a white supremacist? Talking about President Trump. He says, Spike Lee says, I mean, it's not even a question anymore. I mean, the Muslim ban, all Mexicans are rapists, murderers, drug dealers. And Anderson Cooper doesn't challenge him on that.
Wow.
Did you? Huh? No. Did you hear what he just said?
Yeah.
Now, if Spike Lee wanted to say, although I completely reject the idea that President Trump is a white supremacist, but if Spike Lee wanted to criticize the president accurately.
Yes.
Okay. President Trump did refer to some Mexicans who come here illegally. Remember that famous press conference?
Right.
Yes.
It was he spoke about it and could have said things a little bit better, but what he was saying was they're not sending us their best people. That is to say, we all know what he was talking about. He was talking about the drug cartels.
Right.
And all the crime that comes over with, some people who are not criminals and who are good people. They come in from Mexico. They come here illegally, but they're not bad people. Okay, they're not criminals. But we know what the president was talking about there back when he was a candidate. Mm-hmm. But what Spike Lee continues with is this false liberal narrative about President Trump that's not fair. we mentioned it fair, because he's, again, he says, rightly says to Anderson Cooper, I mean the Muslim ban. Okay, first of all, there was no Muslim ban. It was seven countries,
right,
who were predominantly Muslim in their, most of them, I believe it was. Maybe there were one or two that weren't. Remember this? This all came up. Mm-hmm. It was called a Muslim ban. It wasn't. Mm-hmm. It was a country. And President Trump was trying to protect the U.S. from terrorists.
Right.
That's what, and these countries were high on the terrorism list. Mm-hmm. It just so happens that they were Muslim-dominant countries, because guess what? The vast majority of terrorists in this world are Muslims.
Right.
Or at least claim to be. Right?
Right.
Okay, so anyway, for Spike Lee to say, call it a Muslim ban, okay, I'll let you by with that one. But then to say that, to say that President Trump said that all Mexicans are rapists, murderers, and drug dealers, and Anderson Cooper not to call him out, not to stop, at least this article in Real Queer Politics does not say that he stopped him from saying, wait just a minute, Spike, you can't say that he said all, okay? So anyway, that kind of narrative just keeps going out there across the country.
That's intentional.
Why is it intentional?
It's intentional. I don't know if you guys have talked about the Dean Baquet leaked transcript from the meeting that the New York Times just had, and I'll just summarize it.
Mm-hmm. Who are we talking about?
He is
about
the editor of the New York Times.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
They had a meeting, and that a transcript from the meeting happened to be leaked to Slate, which is an extremely regressive outfit, where just to boil it right down, he said, well, we spent the last 2.5 years reporting on Trump-Russia collusion. Bob Mueller didn't help us on that. It didn't work in stopping Trump, so we're going to turn the remainder of the Trump administration's time, we're going to report on racism. Mm. So the reason, my point is that Anderson Cooper doesn't interrupt Spike Lee is because the latest effort to try to sway the American populace against President Trump, and more specifically to try to get his supporters to abandon him, is to tag him with the moniker that he is a racist.
That's a white, and more than a racist.
Yeah, and a white
not
supremacist.
Not your average racist. He's a white supremacist. According to Spike Lee, he's a white supremacist.
And that is what the marching orders have been sent out. Mm-hmm. So that is the latest attack effort. I mean, you go through all of the different things that have been tried to unseat the president or to dislodge his supporters from him that hasn't worked to date. So now they're going to amp up the intensity of the racist narrative.
You know, you would. I think it's fair to say that if somebody were a white supremacist or a supremacist of any kind, first of all, most people are proud of whatever supremacist they represent. In the case
or
of
at least vocal about it. Yeah,
most people are, because that. You know,
I don't know any.
Islamic supremacists,
right.
Like Al-Qaeda and those people. But President Trump has been in the public eye for a long, long time. And he's worked with all kinds of people, black, white, Asian, Hispanic, homosexual, straight, all kind of folks. You would think this would have, if he were a white supremacist, that would have come out by now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
After 10 years of the number one of the top rated television shows in America being covered by the media all the time. Anyway, I think if people want to know, when President Trump strikes back and says fake news, and you have Anderson Cooper not stopping Spike Lee from saying that President Trump said all Mexicans are rapists,
right,
and drug dealers, then guess what? That's what President Trump's talking about.
Right.
Right there. And a lot of Americans believe him now and agree with him that it's fake media.
Well, and here's
fake
the other thing,
fake
too,
news
concerning what Abe just said. If that's going to be the Democrats' strategy, excuse me, I think that is really bad timing, because I think the American people are getting very frustrated with the impression that everybody's a racist. And everybody's a racist. You're racist because you said that. You're racist because you believe that. I think people are tired of that. So I think that's going to fall on deaf ears if they don't actually believe the president is a racist. Because now, if that's the way you got to target him, and if that's what we're going to hear from now until the 2020 election next November, I think it's going to fall on deaf ears. I don't think that's going to be a good strategy. And if the Democrats, all they had was Russian collusion, that turns up empty. If we ever get to the Inspector General's report and find out that the Obama administration weaponized the intelligence services branches and the FBI to target a candidate and a president of the opposition party, and then all you have is the charge that he's a racist, I think that's a recipe for disaster.
Yeah. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. What do you think about Joe Biden as a candidate, Abe?
I mean, maybe we should ask his wife.
She is doing a lot of speaking for him.
It seems like unhelpful communication seems to be a Biden family trade.
Fred has a clip here we're going to play. What are we about to hear?
Cut number one is Jill Biden the other day.
Jill Biden,
that's his wife. Go ahead, cut number one.
You know, your candidate might be better on, I don't know, health care than Joe is. But you've got to look at who's going to win this election. And maybe you have to swallow a little bit and say, okay, I sort of personally like so-and-so better. But your bottom line has to be that we have to beat Trump.
Yeah, so the only reason to vote for my husband, the other candidates may be better on some of the key issues, but you got to swallow it and just go with Joe.
Well, I know
sorry.
That sound,
huh? I would be very disappointed if my wife's only endorsement for me. I mean, this is my wife, man. I mean, imagine my wife coming to you thinking about hiring me at American Family Association. He tells you, hey, Tim, you know, there may be some people that are better than Abe. You know, maybe you haven't had enough time to do your research, but
I think he's the best you can do.
I think that's the best you can do on this short notice.
It's my husband.
Isn't that a ringing endorsement?
You got a point.
Goodness gracious.
Thanks, honey.
Thanks, babe.
With a friend like you, who needs enemies?
Because we choose truth over facts.
Yes.
What did he say? what did he say yesterday? Do we have the clip? I'm talking about Joe Biden. It was yesterday, the day before, and he's talking about the decade that Martin Luther King and Robert Kennedy were assassinated. Do you have that one?
Yep. Yeah, he got that wrong.
Late 70s.
Got that wrong. He got that wrong by a decade.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
He's talking about it happened after the bicentennial.
Yes. Huh? That's right. That was 1968 that they were assassinated.
You know what this is? I'm afraid we're about to get to a point with Joe Biden. We've seen this happen to people that we know and love and friends where they get memory losses. I don't know if you call it dementia or not. That's kind of a medical term. But it happens to old people.
I hope that's not always dementia.
Not just old people.
Because I'm not up in the bracket of Joe Biden. I forget stuff.
I know.
You know?
I know, but what I'm
what I'm saying, it's natural.
These are major historical facts that he's getting confused. He got confused where the shootings took place.
Yes.
He got confused of his own number to text to support during the debate.
That's right.
If you want to support us, text Joe at 303.
I know.
Oh.
I know. Okay, let me ask you this question. Let me ask you guys this question. This is my point I'm getting at. If we see that happening to somebody we know, you start feeling sorry for them. And you start trying to help them.
Right.
And especially if it's like your parents or your aunt or uncle or somebody at church that you love and you see them starting to do this kind of thing out in public, you know they're slipping.
Right.
And
now,
I'm just saying that is at some point, President Trump has said that Joe Biden has lost his fastball.
Yes.
And he wasn't. And then another time he said, President Trump said of Joe Biden, something about all his marbles, something to that effect. My point is, you can do that kind of criticism that President Trump just did of somebody who's really not suffering from dementia, but they just had a couple of bad days, and you can poke fun at them. And so, you know what I'm right. saying? But if you have somebody who's genuinely suffering from forgetfulness or dementia because of their age, if you start making fun of that, people don't like that.
That's true.
You see it's what
cruel.
I'm saying?
It's cruel.
It's cruel
right.
to do. So you see what I'm saying? I don't know. President Trump, you know, he calls him Sleepy Joe.
I think lost his fastball is a good way of putting it, because that's not cruel. Because we all watch baseball players and we go, he's not right. what he used to be. Joe Biden is 76. He turned 77 in November. He would be 78 if he was elected president. And here's the thing. Some people that age can stay in the game. President Trump is not at that age, but he's still pretty energetic for
You can tell.
You can tell. 71, I think he is, or something like that. So here's the thing. There's nothing to be ashamed of if you're Joe Biden and you've lost your fastball. The problem is the more you slip, the more people, and we'll pitch it to Abe because this is really your segment. The more you slip, the more people start going, I think he has lost his fastball. I don't know if I want him with the nuclear button.
And I think that's why you see Elizabeth Warren's rise in the polls.
You think so?
Yeah, I do think so. There are people that are Democratic supporters that are panicking. Mm. And even his handlers are, you know, considering whether or not they need to reduce his amount of public appearances and just trade on his vice president popularity in an effort to try to secure the nomination.
And did you see where President Obama had advised him?
You don't have to do this.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
Listen, we've got a long way to go. It's just August.
Yeah, it's just getting started.
And so
I think he's going to drop out.
He cannot not go on the road. He can't avoid going to this little cafe in Iowa and going to New Hampshire and showing up at this state fair. He has to do that.
He's getting slammed from the left.
Oh, yes,
on some of the issues. Yeah. He's not just. Huh?
Right.
I know he's getting kid treatment by a lot in the media, but these open border activists are showing up and they're saying, "Hey, you and Obama, you deported millions of people," and there'll
be a tipping point at some point. You'll reach a place where the media and Democratic support will collapse for Biden.
Yeah. Elizabeth Warren stands to benefit from this more than anybody you think, Abe?
I think so, because the contrast in terms of the top-tier candidates with Biden immediately on most people's minds is Bernie Sanders. And a lot of the Democrat supporters just don't want the crotchety curmudgeon Bernie Sanders, especially when you have someone who's identical from a policy standpoint but has some sort of energetic disposition about her that could serve as a sort of rallying for the Democrat Party. They'll settle on Elizabeth Warren, which is remarkable to me, because I don't know how you can say, I'm going to put my trust in a person who built her professional career off claiming that she's a minority.
Yeah. Right. But she is a woman. So if you're a Democrat, you go, okay.
Ethnic minority is what I meant.
Yeah. Well, but what I'm saying is Hillary Clinton didn't become the first woman president. Mm-hmm. Elizabeth Warren could be. Mm-hmm. So if you're the Democratic base, she checks a lot of the boxes.
Do you know she used to be a Republican?
Yeah, she was.
I didn't know that.
20 years ago.
Yeah, before she ran for the Senate, she was a Republican.
I was reading about her. She grew up in Oklahoma. Talking about Elizabeth Warren. She grew up in Oklahoma in a Methodist family there. And then she went to Houston, Texas, became a professor, then moved to, where was she a professor in New England?
In Boston, at Harvard.
At Harvard. Anyway, she was a writer, and she was very well.
She's a very bright lady.
She was very
she's
well.
She's no pushover.
She was very well respected in her field.
Right.
But anyway, something happened to her through the years that made her go from.
Well, she lived in Massachusetts.
Yeah, true. Made her go from a Republican. I don't know how conservative she was, but a registered Republican. And then she went, became a leading proponent of progressivism. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Next story, Fred.
Question for Abe. This new California law on lethal force. Basically, it says police should kill only when, quote, necessary.
What is that? Is this a new law in California?
This is new law. Governor Newsom just signed it into law the other day.
Yeah.
And should kill only what's when it's necessary?
It's elevating the standard for the justifiability of a justifiable homicide when perpetrated by police officers. It's basically trying to set the stage to allow police officers to be prosecuted criminally for excessive use of deadly force.
So what is the standard? You got to let the other guy shoot first?
Well, the other day at the news conference, one of the things in there is that the police should try to talk to the person with the gun and try to persuade them through a conversation.
State of idiots.
Yeah.
Well, the other day when I heard the governor talking about this.
You're not serious, Fred. Are you serious?
This is true.
This
Assembly Bill 392.
So you have to be a police officer and a psychologist? You have to have dual.
They already say drop the weapon. You're already talking to them. But now you got to say, listen, this is not going to end well for you.
This is what I would say to Governor Newsom's security people.
Yeah.
The next time the governor faces somebody with a gun, ask the governor to have a chat with them. You keep your gun in your holster.
That's loony.
Ask the governor to have a chat with that individual.
What a state.
Yeah, this
is off the rails.
I wonder what's going to happen to the. I wonder if they'll start losing police officers.
This happened in New York.
Retiring.
It happened in New York. Here's what's. We're telling police officers, we understand you have to make a split second decision here, but afterwards, if we think you made the wrong decision when you were faced
then
with
your
that
life's
danger,
over.
We're going to have a court case. We're going to have hearings. We're going to do this, and you might lose your job.
Well, because not just lose your job. They're going to try to put them in prison.
Yeah. You
that
imagine being
insane.
A police officer in these environments. It's
well,
crazy.
I would. Listen.
This passed and was signed into law by the governor.
Newsom signed it into law on Monday.
I've never been a police officer, but I would be thinking, I'm leaving L.A.
Yeah.
I'm leaving. I'm going to go to a smaller town, smaller community.
This is the whole state.
I know, but
California.
You're not going to be running up against gangbangers and stuff like that, I'm guessing, in smaller communities. I would just say I'm not putting my life in the balance. I'm sorry. I love L.A. or I love San Francisco or I love San Diego or whatever. Mm-hmm. I love Oakland. I'm leaving.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wonder if over time if that will have the effect because you're right. I mean, so you're telling me they have to – verbally try to negotiate.
That's one of the suggestions is instead of pulling the trigger
and giving orders,
you
down on the ground,
you try to
or hands
talk,
up.
You try to talk to the individual.
You say, wow. Listen, I want to talk to you about putting your hands up. Okay. So can we go to a safe space? You know what I'm saying?
These poor men and women in uniform.
We'll see how this plays out. Abraham,
we know
Hamill,
how it's going to play out.
Third, I know.
There'll be extra additional cops shot and killed,
yeah,
because they tried to talk to someone who intends to kill them. You can't deflect bullets with words.
Mm. Thank you, Abe. Appreciate
Thank
it, brother.
You guys.
Can you stay an extra minute to make up for the minute you were late? You do that.
I can stay for five extra.
Okay,
minutes.
Five extra minutes. Thank you, brother Abe. This afternoon, your show,
5:00. 5:05 Central's when we get started. We'll dig into some more of
the
wonderful follies of the Biden family.
Next on the Hamilton Corner. All right, we'll be back in 5 minutes, folks. Thank you, Fred.
You're welcome.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.